This is Jenny Allen, and you are listening to the Made for This podcast. Welcome back. We are talking through our emotions this season, and my daughter, Kate Summers, who just got married, is helping with this conversation. And one reason I wanted Kate to be here is it just brings some real life to it. Like a lot of the book is my real life. A lot of the book I write about my husband struggle with depression. I write about our lives and emotions in our home. I write a lot about y'all. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it would add to the whole conversation to really talk about the behind the scenes of this. This isn't just words that I believe are true and helpful. These are words that we've lived out together. And most often, we are living out our emotional lives with our families. And so, Kate.
What's up, guys? I'm back.
This is a great episode because we're really turning the corner from kind of negative why we don't do mm-hmm. this. And we're going to talk about why it's worth it. And then we're going to spend a lot of the back end of the season talking about how do we navigate these feelings and these emotions. If you're reading with us, chapter 7, we're reading chapter 7 this week and talking about it. So chapter 7, I talk a lot about your dad's depression.
Yeah.
You live that with us. Dad's been so open with y'all about when he's wrestling. Talk about how that's impacted you and even affected you and Charlie as you got married. Like what's that look like for you?
I think it's been an incredible way that the Lord has used it in me and Charlie's story, just as Charlie has walked through just a really hard season of depression. And we're kind of maybe not just coming out of it, but moving out of the deep, deep parts of it. And I just remember Dad taking Charlie to coffee and just telling him, like kind of just explaining, he used the metaphor with depression of you just feel like you're at the bottom of underwater, like at the bottom of a pond. And you're tied to the bottom and you're trying your best to swim up, but you just can't. And you can see the light at the top, but you just feel like you can't get there, whatever you do. And I just remember Charlie telling me and just crying and saying of something about Dad just saying like, this will end and this will get better. But there is some inevitable truth of just having to walk through it with God. And it's not necessarily in that instance, any kind of a result of Charlie's faithlessness or Charlie's lack of effort or anything on Charlie's end. There was just some really hard things that he was walking through and choosing to faithfully just go back and heal from them, which prompted just, that deep depression. And so, but I just think the way that Dad even as like he, you know, it comes in dips and waves, and depression is just kind of one example of many things that we all have, different things that we just have to walk through.
Here's what we want y'all to know is there's emotional health and there's sadness and there's fear.
Yeah.
There's anger and there's joy and there's all these emotions that we're going to talk more and more about in the coming weeks. But there are some of you listening and you are sinking. Like you are where my husband was and where Charlie's been and where you and I have been at different points. I think everybody hits this at some point where you feel like I'm on the bottom and I can't get up, and I see the light, but I can't get there, and I don't know what to do. And so I just want to, you know, we're a few weeks in now, and I just want to say we see you. We know that you're out there, and you're out there in mass. You're out there possibly as the parent of someone struggling. You're out there as the spouse of someone struggling. You're out there with you as the one struggling. You're on college campuses. You're in neighborhoods. You're in workplaces, and you feel like you're in the darkest spot of your life. That is a very important subject. One reason I asked my husband to tell his story in this book was I didn't want anyone to feel like, wow, I guess I'm out of the realm of normal. Like, you're very much in the realm of normal today. Mental health is the crisis of our day. And so I just want to encourage you, you're not alone. There's a lot of people wrestling with the same thing. I also want to say that both of our husbands got help. They got really good help. I don't want you to be afraid of that, because this little book, while I do think it is insanely helpful for anybody wherever they are, because it will give you a clearer handles for your emotions, this book can only go so far. And for some of you, you need a counselor. And if you can't afford that, you can reach out to churches, local churches, and they might have somebody that can help you. Some of you might need a doctor's visit and medicine. And so I don't want to go a lot further in the season without just addressing that. We'll have an interview with your dad too in this season at some point, just talking about it with him. But I do know there's just hope. And mm-hmm. there's people that are so beautifully trained to help through these seasons. But again, we are talking about hope because this is, what is it? Why is it worth it? Why is mm-hmm. it worth it to do the work? Why is it worth it to do what we're about to do, to go on this journey together? Because it is easier to cope and to conceal and to control our emotions. But I know it has changed my life personally to engage in this in a deeper way. What would you say to that question? Why is it worth it?
I think what I've experienced really going through it in depth for some of the first times of things that I didn't even think like I had that much that I had to work through. And I think to some extent, you don't even know how much you're not operating in the freedom and exactly who the Lord created you to be.
Yeah, that's
until
good.
You work through those things and realize so many things that you just thought were the way that you were are actually ways that you've learned to cope from when you were little, just slowly learned how to see the world and how that was shaped by your experiences and how you learned things from the ways that people spoke to you and treated you and in the ways that you did that to other people and how they responded. And so we're all working from this elaborate mix of all of our life experiences. It's a beautiful thing that the Lord gives us that many different life experiences. And he wants to use all those the same way, like with Dad, he was able to step into such a beautiful role in Charlie's life and in our marriage because he had experienced that. And there's things that the Lord wants to do with all of those things that if you don't do the work to even be aware sometimes of what those things are, you might just miss out on things that he wants to use to redeem those things and to make those things beautiful and helpful to other people. I think something that I remember hearing a lot growing up and in the church was feelings are real, but they're not reliable, which I think there's a mix. Like there's like some good truth in there, but there's also, I think, ways that I and some other people I know, maybe it got twisted in a way that I don't think it was intended around talking about past experiences and emotions and healing from them, like the way in which we heal and why it's worth it. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do. I think we all got messages like that. And I probably sent you messages like that because I was pretty full-hearted believer in statements like that prior to the last few years of my life. So, I mean, this is such a profound shift for me in my thinking. And it really did come from the Bible. And I couldn't believe that this hadn't been taught better in the church because we have a God who, as I've mentioned, is very emotional. And I thought maybe it'd be good for us to look at a verse and talk through it. So let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. So let's read Deuteronomy 31:8.
Deuteronomy 31:7-8. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed."
Okay, so that's a perfect example of the multitudes of times throughout the scripture it says, do not fear. So let's just take fear for a minute as an example. Fear is something that we all consider negative. I would say almost everybody would hear the word fear. Is that a negative emotion or a positive emotion? Everybody would say it's definitely a negative emotion. And it would be one that we would be quick to demonize. And we would use the Bible to do it. So we would look at all these passages that say, do not fear. And we would say, oh, yes, God, it is a sin to fear. We got a message this week from somebody reading the book that said, I was at Bible study this week, and they said, fear is a sin. And I literally interrupted them and said, no, it isn't. If it's a sin, then God sins, because there was the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus felt fear. And we'll talk about that in future weeks. It can't be a sin in itself. It can't be a sin. We're saying, and I'm not saying never, ever, ever could some obsessive fear that you do not give to the Lord. It's about what you do with it, though. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about fear in this context, it's a good example of all the contexts that I studied where God says these words, do not fear. And what's happening in this moment? Joshua is being appointed the leader. Joshua is being commanded to go take the land. That's going to mean war. That's going to mean leading a lot of people that were his peers and his kids and his family into certainly injury, death. I mean, who knows what, leading them into war. So there's a calling on his life that is really big that is being made clear to everyone. And it's a public moment. God makes it clear, do not fear because I am with you. And again, when you listen to it, instead of thinking of it as do not fear ever, Joshua, because that would be wrong, which is mm-hmm. how we interpret, or it is, you know, it's really what we grew up with a lot of times. All as parents, a lot of times people have said, parents have said without meaning to hurt their kids, don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, and they mean it like, why would you be afraid of that? Don't be afraid of that. That doesn't matter. Or it's not important, or it's going to be fine. It's okay. Don't worry about it. You know, whatever it is, but they're sitting there with their little heart really, really afraid. There's this message of, I can't feel that way. I'm not mm-hmm. supposed to feel that yeah. because God said it, because my parents said it, because I learned I wasn't supposed to feel that. And what you see in this moment is like, I hear this is a huge task, but I'm going to be with you. I'm mm-hmm. not going to leave you. And you're never going to feel alone. So don't be afraid because I'm with you. But it isn't, it's a comfort. Mm-hmm. It's not meant to be a fix it. It's not meant to be stop feeling that. It's meant to be, I love you. I'm with you. I'm not going anywhere. You're not going to do this alone. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid. And when you hear scripture read like that, you all of a sudden you go, wow, maybe where I've picked up this demonization of these emotions is more from the world than it is from God. Because he actually loves to draw near to us in our emotion and in our fear. And so when you think of a child being afraid and God moving in and near to that, that's like his favorite. I mean, yeah. he loves it. He loves when we cry out to him. He loves when we need him. He loves when we're scared and we come to him mm. because that's the dependence that he actually wanted from us in the beginning. So often our emotions are how we get there. I would say almost 100% of the time. I'm not saying I don't just pray a lot, but my most passionate prayers are those when I am afraid or angry or sad and I'm calling out to God.
I so feel that. Sometimes the lack of control that we feel that we have in the emotions reminds us of our need for deeper dependence on God in a way that he intended and is a good thing. And it's disarming to yeah. feel that.
Well, you're just going to be at so much more peace with yourself and with other people because yeah. it's just so great to be honest. I remember yeah. one IF gathering. It was right before I went on sabbatical. It was in 2022. And I'm backstage and everybody, all the speakers and leaders are there. And I mean, IF is so special because so many leaders and speakers come, even if they're not speaking, they just are back there with us. And so there were so many people I respected back there. And I remember I was learning all this at the time and I was exhausted and I had a big job ahead to host mm-hmm. and lead IF. I remember I was supposed to lead the moment where we're all about to go in. And usually like I'm a preacher girl, like I get up there and I'm like, and this is why we're doing this. And this is what we're praying for this year. And there's a boldness to me. And that year it was like, I'm really tired and I need prayer and I feel weak. And I just said mm-hmm. all of that in front of all these people I respect. And I didn't get I didn't get necessarily like a wave of like acceptance in that moment. Mm-hmm. Not that any of them were judging me. In fact, they all came over and prayed over me. It was really sweet. But in my own heart, what I got and being honest about that and feeling what I was feeling, which was just overwhelmed and exhausted, yet I had to show up and do this work. I felt like I didn't have to pretend. Like there was no energy wasted
yeah.
in me pretending that I'm okay. I just was able to go in front of all these people and it was just human, right? It's like yeah. these are the things we feel. These are the places we go in our lives that are part of life. We're all going to feel weary. We're all going to feel sad. We're all going to feel angry. We're all going to feel fearful. And that's actually what connects us to the souls of each other. And it actually was amazing. I went on stage like minutes later, was empowered. Like, I mean, and I know that's the spirit of God, but I also think he just has more room to work when we're not pretending or shoving down or concealing that this is the gift of just walking this human journey with our human emotions and bringing them to God and bringing them to each other and not wasting energy trying to pretend we're not feeling a certain way. It sets us free.
Yesterday, I went to my hairstylist and for the first time in a long time, she was like, Chloe, I don't think you need a haircut today because your hair is shiny and smooth and you don't have split ends. And I was like, it really is because of Pros Hair Care. And I'd never thought that I could find products that really understood my needs and the type of hair that I have. But ever since I switched to a custom hair and skin routine with Pros, I have noticed such a difference in my hair and skin. Skincare is always very intimidating to me because I have sensitive skin, things irritate my skin. And so knowing that I can have a custom cleanser, a custom moisturizer, and a custom serum that are fit to my skin and won't cause any irritation or things like that, but help reduce the appearance of fine lines. I have brighter skin and smoother skin. Personalization is rooted in everything that Pros does. So based on your answers to their in-depth consultation, you get made-to-order products. So from millions of possible formulas, only one of them is uniquely yours. Pros isn't just better for you, it's better for the planet. They are a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/madeforthis. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/madeforthis. That's PROSE.com/madeforthis.
I think what I can feel prone to a lot is balance almost of, I'm going to feel it a little bit, acknowledge it like I'm human, I'm broken. That's what it feels like sometimes in acknowledging negative emotions. And then kind of like pretty promptly after, if I'm sharing in community group or something like that, in a lot of spaces, I can feel like I have to directly follow that with like the truth that I've found that contradicts that. And then the action immediately, like in the moment, I might still be feeling it. I might be tearing up, but like the action immediately that I've done to combat not feeling that emotion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a war, you know? And I would say, I actually don't believe it's a balance. I think that's a wrong way of viewing it because then you're sitting there doing the same thing with your fear or sadness that you were doing when you were judging it.
You're just trying to figure out if it's right or wrong.
You're trying to make sure you're not feeling too afraid, or you're trying to make sure you're not feeling too sad or too angry. I would say take that off the table. That's not going to help you out. I would say you feel it and you name it and we're going to talk about it and you share it when needed, when it's a big enough feeling and not just a mood in your day. And then you decide what to do with it. Mm-hmm. But when you say the word balance, I think of we're trying to hold all this together still. And I'm like, no, fall apart. Mm-hmm. Like, fall apart. Ball your eyes out today if you need to. Scream into a pillow. Like, do what you need to do to feel that emotion. And we'll talk more about this and I'll give you handles because some of you are listening and you're like, oh, what? Like, I don't feel permission to do that at all. And I would just say, why? Why don't you? Who has told you mm-hmm. don't have permission to do that? Fall apart, and then we're going to trust the process that we're going to decide and make a choice about what we're going to do about that emotion. Mm-hmm. That emotion is not going to be your God. It is not driving the train. We talk about the train in the book, and it's not your will is going to drive the train. You can still have your will and feel deeply without balance what you need to feel.
Good.
And then you won't believe how much healthier you'll be. You think if I give way to what Jenny's saying, I'm going to be an emotional wreck, mess. I wouldn't respect me. I'll be controlled by emotions because that's what the world does. But they're not doing it right either. So I'm not suggesting what the world does. I'm saying you feel it all. And then together we're going to make decisions about what to do with it. So lastly, let me give everybody just a few things that emotions are, ways they're gifts in our life. It's our feelings that are often leading us to something that is true that we've been missing. It can take us That's to part good. Of our soul, part of our story that we've just been missing. We haven't wanted to pay attention to.
And with that, with what you just said, sometimes we're so busy telling our brains what is true and to believe it that we don't even allow ourselves to let that raised to the top from our hearts so that he can teach us that in a really real
experiential
core,
way.
Like shaping good, the theology of our hearts.
Yeah.
Because we're so busy on making sure
mentally
we know and everyone else knows that we know what actually is true and I shouldn't be feeling that.
Yeah, you're right. And I think look at David. He's such a poet. He describes emotions so beautifully and he says like, even though I go down to the valley of the shadow of death. Mm-hmm. Did he really go to the valley of shadow of death? He actually did. Like he went down into wars and valleys. But what he meant in that moment was his soul. Even though my soul goes down to the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. because you are with me. He was telling himself what was true, but he was feeling it too. He was feeling the valley of the shadow of death. He had been to the valley of the shadow of death to learn that God was with him, to know that God was with him. He hadn't coped and concealed it. He had felt it, lived it, and you see it throughout his life and you see it throughout the Psalms. And then what he knows to be true of God was learned in that valley. And that's true of your dad too, and probably Charlie. I mean, he learned the goodness of God. His relationship with God was forged in the valley of the shadow of death. And it's just the irony that those moments become gifts.
The other night before community group, the group that was leading that night had every couple pray in their car for 10 minutes before we came into group. It was just a day where I could have mustered up the strength to pray for like exactly the topic of what they had said. But I just found whenever I took a moment and centered again and was really with God in that moment, I just opened up Psalm 42. Me and Charlie just sat in the car and I just like read it and cried. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And something about in that moment, meeting God in the reality of like my heart was not aligned in that. And just meeting him right there, rather than feeling like I needed to get there before I prayed with my husband or before I went into community group or before I came before God. The intimacy that comes from that and the vulnerability I have with my husband, that might be where I am spiritually in that moment. Mm-hmm. And then the vulnerability with God that my safety and my security is not resting in my own ability in that moment to align my heart to God. And it just puts me again in the right perspective of my role in my relationship with God.
Yeah. The other thing I want to close with is this, that the greatest gift you're going to get from this is deeper connection. I'm going to say it over and over again this season, deeper connection with God and deeper connection with the people you love. And I wanted to close reading a little bit out of chapter 7, my son's letter that he wrote my husband after he was super candid with where we were, where he was emotionally and where he was with the business. And he kind of told y'all all set you down and said, this is where we are. Y'all's response was pretty incredible. I'll never forget a conversation you and I had outside. You were like, Mom, if we have nothing, like our family's fine, like we are close no matter what. And this is what Connor wrote, Dad. Have you heard this?
I don't think so.
Okay. He wrote this the morning after Zach had shared his depression and where he was with the business and everything. Dad, sitting here just crying and thinking about what you're going through. I know you're asleep and I'll tell you in person, but I want you to know I'm so proud of the father and the businessman that you have been for me and taught me to be. I see your work ethic, vision, and execution every day, and it breaks my heart to see a dream not come to fruition. But all I can think about amidst grieving with you is how proud I am that you're my dad. I don't think I'd be crying if I didn't love you and think of you as a best friend. That alone is something I will continually pray for with my future son. I love you, Dad, and I know I don't tell you enough, but I'm so proud of you and will follow you into battle anywhere. If you and Mom need anything out of me, I'll be there. Thank you for dinner tonight. That was the text. And I think why I wanted to put that in the book was just the picture for so many people that find their emotions hard to share. You're missing the best parts too. Like he would have never gotten that text that he will think about for the rest of his life if he hadn't have been vulnerable to you guys. And I've learned a lot watching your dad go through these seasons because he's learned to do it real and it's simple and honestly. And it just, I think you're like, it gave Charlie permission. I think it just gives people permission to be where they are. And I'm going to tell you, your soul was meant to be in the presence of people that are accepting you with how you feel and what you're going through in safety and support. Jesus knew that. Jesus did that beautifully again and again and again. And it doesn't mean he never led them to the truth, but it was after he was present with them in their pain and he was present with them in their need. And so this is just the greatest freeing thing, to not need to fix people, to be with them wherever they are, for you to be where you are and to find the people that can be there with you And sometimes that takes work, and sometimes that takes training. As we'll talk about later in the book, sometimes it just takes saying, this is what I need right now. This is what I need you to be. Because I don't think this is the way we're accustomed to supporting each other and being. So fixing people is a bad habit to break. But I do think our family is in a different place than we were on this topic. We've come a long way.
We have.
You guys, I have a special request to make.
Okay.
You know on your podcast app where you can leave ratings and reviews on the podcast that you listen to? Well, it is honestly like one of Jenny and I's favorite things. It's one of those ways that we get to know you just a little bit by your reviews and your ratings. And it helps other people find out about the show. So would you go today, and if you've been listening for a while and you're enjoying the show, can you go leave a rating and review? We would so appreciate it, and we're always grateful that you're here. We'll see you next time for another episode of the Made for This podcast.